So what do you know about your biological dad? Because we didn't talk too much about him the other day. Like, what do you know about him?
What I know about him, I actually, he got in contact with me and I actually met him. I think I went through that with you about how he, after I joined the Navy, I was in my second training or first training after boot camp. And he made contact with me there and called me. And I flew out to North Carolina from Pensacola, Florida, and met with him. And it was obvious, like, you know, just the whole, as soon as I stepped off the plane at that little airport, I was like, oh, there he is. And it's like, wow, yeah, I definitely see the, finally in my whole, for not my whole life, I saw a resemblance, right, you know, to anyone in my family. But, you know, he was a guy who like owned a number of properties. He was, you know, I don't know if you could say well off, but you know, he owned a couple trailer parks and some duplex apartment buildings. And back in the day in dry counties, he used to run liquor. He was a moonshiner, made wine, made beer. I remember, you know, asking him like, why, how did you never get arrested? How did your guys never get arrested and shut down by the government, you know? And he pulled out his box with all these pictures of congressmen, senators, mayors, chiefs of police, fire chiefs, pictures of him with them. And he said, you know, my guys all knew if they ever got in trouble, they had phone numbers in their pockets. Make sure you call this person before you do anything else, officer, you know, kind of thing. You know, he admits to shooting people back in the day. Like, you know, guys come in, try to take your business or trespass on your property or whatever it is. And it's like, you know, it was in this very North Carolina, matter of fact, drawl. He's like, well, I've shot a few, you know, kind of thing. You know, and I did ask him, you know, I said, you know, I called him dad. And I said, dad, look, I said, I'm not holding a grudge. That's why I'm here. I said, I came to see you. I want to know who you are. I want to know who the side of my family is. And not for nothing, but they are very well known in North Carolina, very well known, very prominent, a lot of very prominent people. Of course, there's not like every family, there's a shady side, which he was part of. Mm-hmm. But there's also very prominent people, you know, presidents of colleges and people in government and military and on it went. The name was very well known. And then I found out that his older brother tried to adopt me before my mom left there. Ask her, like, you know, can you please let me adopt him? I'll take care of him. And he was rich, very well known, prominent. I actually got to meet him some years later after I was a Navy chief, went back for a family reunion there for the first time and met a bunch of people I didn't know. My biological father's real name, or my name should have been Metz, M-E-T-T-S. I guess back in the day when I first came here, M-E-T-Z, I guess they tracked the first relative came in like 1694, something like that, or 1684, something like that. But long short of it, as soon as I walked in, they were like, oh, you're clearly a Metz. Who are you? You know, kind of thing.
Nobody in your family looked like you. You were the only one. That's why you're saying that, that you had never seen anybody that kind of looked like you. When you saw him, you're like, well, obviously that's my dad for the first time. So you had never met your dad. And now you said you were 16.
I was 15 when I found out, when my mom told me, and then I was around 15, 14, 15. And then I met him when I was just before my 19th birthday. And I was in the Navy by that point. But he, you know, it's interesting because as we sat there, I told him, I just said, dad, I don't hold a grudge. I said, but, you know, we went through some really hard stuff, some really bad things. We were poor. I said, we're out working in the fields. I was a little kid. A lot of violent, horrible stuff happened. Just a lot of bad stuff was done to me. I said, I'm not holding a grudge. I just want to know why. I said, how you knew you had a son? How could you? He said, well, I didn't know where you were in this. And I said, dad, you found me in 15 minutes. I said, let's just be honest with each other, you know? And he just put his head down. He started crying. And he said, you can hate me if you want. I totally understand. I'm sorry you went through so many hard things. And you know what? It choked me up. And I just told him, I said, you know what, dad? I said, God has saved me. The Lord has forgiven me for everything. I'm his forever. How can I not forgive you? I said, what matters now is that we know each other and we need to get to know each other better. And then it was really amazing because, like, you know, there's this old Southern saying. It's called blood tells in the United States. Blood tells. You hear my family say it. Blood tells. Like, you know, and a big thing, like, if you start dating someone or knowing someone or meet someone's family, like, who are their people? Well, what was interesting was, you know, could be a shady character, but, you know, the family itself had done stuff I'd never even imagined in my life. Like, wow, these people have done this, they're educated, this or that. And so I guess the thing is, like, what I found was with him, as I spent more time with him, our likes, our dislikes, the type of toothpaste we use, the fact that neither of us were coffee drinkers, didn't smoke, you know, not necessarily, like, he had this very thick Southern twang, North Carolina drawl kind of thing, but the way we said things, the way we said certain words, it was, you know, like, genetics is a thing. People can say what they want, but it's, you know, it's that nature nurture thing. Well, there's a whole thing that is also nature. And I guess what I found is, like of my family, I'm the only one that's done the things that I've done. Nobody else in my family has gone the direction that I've gone, like this. And I'm not patting myself on the back. The Lord made it possible. You know, as we get into this, you know, he saved my soul and saved my life. And he took me the direction he wanted me to go, and never let me go, even though I got away from him for some years, you know, when I first joined the Navy. But I guess the thing is that then I learn about this side of my family, and these people have done all these things. Like, there's a number of military people, you know, like I met a first cousin on Facebook who knew my dad, and he was in the military. He retired from the Navy, of all things. And you know, now we're different people. You know, he didn't go to the job field that I was in. He never became a police officer, all that kind of stuff. But I guess that's the thing. Like, there's this driven thing. Like, I was a young person, and when I was young, I was playing the hero in my head. Not that I am some hero, because I'm really not. I'm just blessed to be in one piece after the stuff I've done. But there was this drive to, like, I'm better than this. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to get out of here somehow. I'm going to do this. And I believe the Lord put that in me. It's not just a genetic thing. It's like the Lord put this thing in me to never give up, never quit, you know? Yeah.
Well, it is interesting, the genetic part that you talked about, because you had never met him in your entire life, and you had no idea that you had a biological father for the longest time. So that's very interesting. But I want to go back to your birth, because the situation of your birth and how your dad ended up not being your dad is a little blurry to me. So can you explain how you came to be?
Yeah. So, I was an illegitimate kid, you know, meaning my mom and dad weren't married. And again, I never found out who he was till I was, you know, 14, 15 years old. So when I was born, I was, mom was not married to him. I was premature, extremely premature. I think by 9 or 10 weeks, I weighed just over 2 pounds when I was born. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, the doctor told my mom I wasn't going to make it, that she shouldn't even go see me in the maternity ward, because, you know, this is 1963, you know, the technology that we have now didn't even exist back then, about, you know, drugs and stuff that can give babies develop their lungs quickly and all these things. So, you know, there I was, like 2.25 pounds and 21 inches long. And, you know, my mom said she could not go see me. So she went and saw me. And yeah, I guess the dramatic part, I think I share with you before, was I didn't find this out until after I was saved, after the Lord saved me that night in that little church. But, you know, my mom said she came back to the room she was in and just started crying out to the Lord, because my mom said she was saved when she was 12. And clearly the way she lived, she got away from the Lord for a long time, but drank and all these things. But she said she cried out to the Lord with all her heart. She said, "Lord, please forgive me. I know this is my fault." And I don't know if she smoked or drank while she was pregnant with me, but nevertheless, we were in this situation together, you know, she said she cried out, "Please save him. Please don't let him die." Cause the doctor was, you know, pretty adamant that I wasn't going to make it. And she said it was as if the Lord came in and sat with her on the bed. She's like, felt his very presence next to me, and as if I could feel his arm around me, around my shoulders. And he spoke to me. She said, I heard it audibly in my ears. And she said, he said, Goldie, don't worry. He's going to be fine. Name him David. I have things for him to do.
And that's quite the powerful message. You know, David is not a character that is not important. I don't have the greatest word for it, but, you know, David and Goliath, everybody knows about David and quite an important character in the history of our world. So that's quite a big word that your mom got. And it wasn't like that for the longest time for you. You went through a really, really hard childhood. Your dad wasn't there, and you were raised by a single mom. How was it in the beginning? I know you weren't old enough to kind of understand. You might have been told after, but how was it in the beginning of your life growing up with your mom?